Nice to have you back here at Scottsdale Stadium. Giants and Dodgers, what more do you have to say? In the second game of spring training already, we're saying Giants-Dodgers. I'm glad to see the Dodgers here in Arizona as we could get a look at them today. And that's what the National League West is all about. We got the Rockies here, Arizona here, the Padres here, obviously the Giants and the Dodgers. So we will see the entire West before coming back to the Bay Area. We're joined now by Bruce Jenkins, of course, of the San Francisco Chronicle. I'm gonna start calling you the Dean.
Maybe literally I am the Dean.
Right,
I don't know.
Of baseball writers in the Bay Area. There's no one better. And, you know, I'm glad to have you live here. Usually we have to do it on the phone. But you just have that feel for the game, and I enjoyed yesterday just sitting with you watching the game.
Now, we spent seven great innings sitting down about two rows from the field. That was a treat, Marty.
Yeah, so here we are. The world champions are out there. You've covered baseball for so long. Do you sense anything different about them out there as a ball club?
Well, there's a nice air of confidence about them. But, you know, realistically, in spring training, every team is feeling pretty good when they come in. Everybody thinks they can win it. It's a new year. All the problems from last year are gone. So that's, I wouldn't say it's anything really palpable. But just the perception, I think, of the team has changed quite a bit. I mean, last year there were so many questions about the lineup. There were three or four holes. What are we going to do here or there? Are we going to have enough? They're going to put eight good hitters out there.
Yeah.
And if you're talking about DeRosa and Belt not starting, you know, Belt, you know, that's, we're maybe jumping the gun on his talent, but he has the potential to play for this team. And to think that those two guys might not even crack the lineup, that's really encouraging. So I think it's a perception more than the feel around the team, because everybody tends to feel good in spring training.
I think there are no injuries.
No.
In spring, unless they take you away in an ambulance. There's no significant injuries. By the way, for the fans listening, Brian Wilson did throw a bullpen today, a live bullpen. Travis Ishikawa was the victim of standing in there and said it was pretty awesome. Threw probably about 85%. But Ishikawa said standing there looking at the beard that close and seeing him throw was somewhat intimidating.
It's quite a package. I think a lot of great closers have added sort of an element of weirdness, you know, whether it was Al Raboski turning his back and muttering to himself and then storming back to the mound, or, you know.
How about the Goose?
Oh, jeez.
Come on, with the handlebar mustache.
Oh, God. Horrifying, yeah.
You know.
I mean, for all the talk about Brian Wilson and he's you know, Charlie Sheen this and this trip here and whatever, I mean, watching him throw and that big torque he has on his follow-through, that's what I want to see. You see that, and then he throws 10 more, you know, no problem.
And, you know, the funny thing is the beard. Everyone makes a big – of course, you know, every team that wins always has that little, the motto, the slogan. And, you know, for the Giants, fear the beard and all that kind of stuff. But I was thinking about Bruce Sutter. I mean, he pitched with a – he looked like Abraham Lincoln. I mean, he had the, you know, the Amish, you know?
Yeah, I went to a Montreal game at Candlestick one time, and Bill Lee was pitching for him. And he showed up with Rip Van Winkle. Yeah. I mean, it was down to his chest. And Ted Simmons once had hair coming halfway down his back. So, yeah, there's a great tradition of
So maybe we shouldn't be so surprised with Wilson. As I say, Sutter had that hole.
Well, it's interesting to me that the Giants are tolerant in that way, because you don't do that with the Yankees. And there's other teams who just simply will not have it. The manager gets all freaked out, and I think it speaks well for Sabian and Bochy that they let these guys go a little bit.
Yeah, Bruce Jenkins with us here. Giants and Dodgers coming up. Jonathan Sanchez today. At least he will start probably the first couple of innings, probably about 30 pitches or so. Lincecum yesterday, an inning and two-thirds, 33 pitches. What was your take on Lincecum yesterday?
Well, he wasn't really popping the glove, and I don't think he intended to.
Yeah.
He threw a couple of real good change-ups. He totally baffled Mora on one of them. We just watched it go by. He had no idea what he was looking at.
Yeah.
But, you know, the fastballs were being hit. And, as long as his arm's not hurting him, I didn't sense any concern from Bochy or Rigetti or Lincecum. No concern at all. It was strange to see one hit after another, and they were hit pretty well. And the ball that was caught in right field was the best hit of them all.
Oh, that's right, Brandon Allen.
He crushed one. I thought it was out of here. It turned out in a sacrifice fly. But, you know, I mean, as long as a guy's not, you know, raising up his arm
or
walking around behind the mound and trying to get it together or looking at the dugout. I mean, you know, Lincecum is he's showing up in better shape. He's dedicated and committed. The thing I like about him is that he actually feels like he's got something to prove.
Yeah.
I mean, here's a guy coming off of two Cy Youngs and then a World Championship. and, you know, the great World Series, and yet he had the bad August when people questioned him for conditioning and whatever. So he's determined to get that off the slate of skepticism. So
yeah,
I like that.
I guess they're still undervalued. I guess maybe that's the word. I don't want to say lack of respect in that, because they are the world champions, and you do respect a pitching staff like this, and they're the second choice in the National League to win a World Series. The Phillies off the charts just because of Cliff Lee. But it may be undervalued for them, and I like that for them, because I tell you, Bruce, I watch them play, and the infield is crisp, the outfield, and these are drills now, and these are veteran players. They're out there busting it, and I think maybe there's a little bit of a challenge to them to, hey, you want to see us do it again? We'll do what it takes to do it again.
Yeah, no doubt. It's not like the Yankees coming off a title, which is so common for them, or the Red Sox, or even the Phillies in recent years. You know, I think a lot of fans will view that as a fluke. I think some experts will pick Colorado in the division. And I think the general consensus is that Philly's the best team in the league. So you have these things, and I think that works for them. They certainly don't want to be thought of as a dominant team that should win it by 15 games. That's not really healthy. I hope there's still a lot of hunger among the players. I can see it with Sandoval and Lincecum, DeRosa, guys showing up in shape, guys with stuff to prove, and the competition for spots is definitely healthy. So
yeah, interesting. Let's go to the phones, 808 KMBR, while Bruce is with us. Greg in San Francisco, you want to talk a little pitching, which I want to do with Bruce as well. Greg, what's on your mind today?
How you doing? It's actually Glenn.
Okay, Glenn. Let's go to Glenn in San Francisco. Glenn, how are you today? What's on your mind?
I'm doing really good. It's good to talk to you. I always listen to you on the weekends. And,
cool.
You really have a good... basically, I'd like to talk a little bit about Barry Zito.
Okay.
I know he didn't get to get in the playoffs last year, and what do you think he's going to do this year? I mean, he's obviously the number fifth starter. I know last year he gave up a lot of hits, you know, and a lot of walks, and I like Zito. I think that he can do it, but... what do you guys think about that?
All right, good call, Glenn. It's a good one. It's a good segue for Bruce. Glenn, thanks for the call. Zito, Bruce, is going to go fourth. Sanchez, who we'll see today, is now in the two spot, which I think is well-deserved. Mm-hmm. Zito didn't get on the playoff roster. Your take on it, number one, do you like the Sanchez move? And is Zito challenged, maybe? As the caller says, he's going to give you 180, 190 innings. That's just what he's done every year. He never gets hurt. And as he gets a little older, maybe the balls get hit a little bit more and the strikeouts aren't there and he struggles a little more. But he's still a very effective pitcher, but now he is fourth in the rotation.
Yeah, well, first of all, I do like the Sanchez call. I mean, there's a lot to be said for following Lincecum with Kane, and I think that's what they would do in the playoffs if they had the chance to reorganize it. But to go right, left, right, it makes a lot of sense. But to me, Zito should definitely be the number five guy. I mean, he didn't make the postseason roster. I don't think it's too much to ask of Bumgarner to step into the number four role. If you're going to be skipping starts in April, it's got to be Zito, not Bumgarner, for my money.
Yeah.
I'm pretty skeptical about Zito. You know, he's no longer a young guy, and he does have that great track record of not missing starts. But at some point, well, actually, we've seen a gradual decline in his pitching in recent years, and I just don't have a lot of great hopes for Zito. I certainly like the guy personally. I love how he handled his demotion last year. He hung around the team. He had kept his chin up, big smiles, and a lot of support. But, you know, realistically, you know, the Giants would like to get out from under that contract.
Yeah.
They want somebody else in that role. They can't do that. They're kind of stuck with him. So we're going to have to ride it out. He'll definitely turn in a great start or two here and there because he's that smart. You imagine taking the mound without a big league fastball and even being in the bigs?
Yeah.
Here he is all these years later, so... But on the whole, I'm not terribly optimistic.
All right, he's in the fourth spot. So the rotation: Lincecum, Sanchez, Kane, then Zito, then Bumgarner, and then a lot of off days. But what Bruce Bochy did last year, and it was very successful. He never skipped anybody. gave them the extra days, and you can't argue with that. And they're going to go the same way.
Yeah, it doesn't look like they are going to skip anyone, and I think that's great for Bumgarner because, I mean, this guy has more than proven himself as a big league pitcher. He doesn't need to be back in the minors to getting on a bus to Modesto or whatever. I mean, you know, he's a big leaguer. He's all the way.
And so, especially for 10 days. I mean, yeah, you know, so you go down 3 or 4 days before the season starts. They option you. Then you're back after the first series against the Cardinals. You're back. That's crazy. Wouldn't it be?
Yeah, and, you know, who knows? It's not that he would you'd ever imagine him being optioned out again, but you don't know with guys. If they ever needed an option, it'd be good to save that one. But
yeah.
I definitely don't see that happening. But, yeah, he's a big leaguer. And, I mean, he was just so awesome down the stretch last year. It's really remarkable to think about it. It ranks with all the really pleasant surprises of last fall.
Yeah, and in the history of baseball, it's one of the amazing things to see a 20-year-old, just turns 21 during the season, see him pitch like that. And the poise in the World Series. I mean, are we taking this for granted, folks?
Yeah, I mean, come on. Yeah.
I mean, the game he pitches against Texas. Now, granted, Freddie Sanchez had the defensive game of his life to get him out of trouble early. But then to come in the Philly game in Game 6, nobody wanted a Game 7. So to see Bumgarner do that at his age, just in the perspective of the game of baseball, that's Whitey Ford kind of stuff. I mean that.
Oh, absolutely. And it's no fluke. It's not like he's got some really weird, funky delivery that nobody can figure out and we'll get him this year. It's not that not a big puzzle. The guy's just got great stuff, you know?
Yeah, like the Dodger who may be here today, Fernando Valenzuela, is part of the broadcast.
Looking to the sky.
Yeah, and his stuff, I mean, his stuff was great. But he was a little funky, right? I mean,
well, he had a screwball, I think they called it then, that broke away from right-handed hitters.
Right.
That at that time was pretty much of a novelty.
Right.
Not too many left-handers were throwing it that well.
Yeah.
And you know, a lot of right-hand hitters were just completely thrown off their game by that thing. And plus, he was funky. But he was like all the great pitchers. He was really, really smart. He never threw what you thought was coming.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
The great ones are like that, and that's what made Lincecum. I thought that would turn his season around when he started realizing 84, 85, 86 will get me the outs every time, and let me just stay ahead of the count and set it up. And if I could set that up, goodbye, you're done.
Which is a good thing about yesterday. He didn't try to come out here throwing 94 and impress the guys in the straw hats behind the plate, the scouts. I mean,
those are the scouts we're talking about. Not the straw hat band. Bruce Jenkins joins us. And, Bruce, I wanted to ask you this. Fabrication in this camp, is there any competition? Or does Bruce Bochy say, come on, I won a World Series. I'm going to make this better. And, you know, he did win a World Series with the guys. Don't you continue?
Well, let's put it this way. The way the lineup is shaping up, Burrell's in left, Torres in center, Sandoval's at third, Huff's at first. You know, that's probably what it will be. But I can guarantee you that Bochy and Sabian would love to see DeRosa start for this team.
Really?
Fabulous guy. Not at anyone's expense. Just in general because of who he is. Good hitter, great guy, good infielder. He's come back in great shape. I would love to see DeRosa starting for this team. Not because I don't want this guy there or this guy there. And I'd love to see Brandon Belt start for this team.
Yeah.
And so would they. This is a heck of a prospect. He's jumping into the cage right now, and there goes a base hit to right. you know, whether that'll happen or not, whether that constitutes real competition or not, I don't know. But it's conceivable that those two guys could play so well that they'd be hard to keep out of the lineup. In Belt's case, just making the big league club would mean that they would want to put him in first base and left field and whatever. But so it's kind of a difficult question to answer. But I think if you're DeRosa and Belt, there's a lot of competition going on.
All right, good. No, it's a good point. there are all sorts of financial issues around Belt. Bringing him up early, and I can't even explain what could happen, and
service
super
time.
Twos and all that kind of
I
stuff.
I can't either.
but that is certainly an issue. But for Brandon Belt fans, and I've seen him in the field now, and just think Keith Hernandez, JT Snow, there's a smoothness to him. Good hands, throws the ball very well, good arm. Former high school pitcher through 93. Mm-hmm. But his hit is right. He's Triples Alley.
Yeah,
just
absolutely.
Think Triples Alley. That's Brandon Belt.
That's right, and he'll go to left center gap, too.
Yeah.
I think realistically it would be great. You know, the natural progression for Belt is to start the season at AAA.
Right.
And think what a boost he could give the team bringing him up at some point if this injury or this slump or whatever.
Yeah.
It'd be a tremendous boost. So that's probably the way they go there.
Yeah, kinda something to look forward
to.
All right, 808 KMBR is the number. Let's go to Carmel. Jason, down in Carmel, you're on KMBR 680. How are you, Jason?
Hey, good morning, Marty. Good morning, Bruce.
How are you?
I am a KMBR listener every day. I think KMBR in particular is lucky to have you, Marty. You're a combination of a true baseball intellect, statistician, and good storyteller.
All right. You didn't do any of the bad things yet. Good. Thank you.
Well, there you go. Hey, listen, if they bring Brandon Bell up, I've got a perfect name for the combination of Bell and Posey, the Killer Bees. What do you think?
Well, we've heard that before with the Houston Astros, and they couldn't get out of the first round, so I'm not going to go with that one
it's
yet.
It's been used before, right. Unfortunately. But
all right. Well, I just thought about it while I was on hold. But anyway, listen, the reason for my call, and I'll hang up and take the answer offline, but very simply, last year we heard so much about, as the season progressed, about the Giants need to get a big bat in the lineup, and somehow the Giants cobbled together, you know, enough runs and good defense and great pitching to put them in the playoffs, and we all know what happened after that. But I haven't heard a lot of discussion so far this season about the need for a big bat, and as I look at the lineup again, I'm looking at Burrell, Huff, Cody Ross, Sandoval, and I'm just wondering, are these the guys that the Giants are going to be relying on, you know, for the home runs, you know, those fly balls out of the park? And I'm just wondering if Bruce could give me his thoughts on, you know, the need for a big bat, kind of an A-Rod type, an Albert Pujols type, an Adrian Gonzalez, you know, somebody to put in that 3 and 4 or 5 spot that's going to knock it out of the park consistently and really add, you know, some pop in the lineup. And I'll hang up, and thanks a lot, gentlemen.
Well, you know, obviously it would be nice to have a guy like that. There really aren't that many guys like that in today's game. It's odd. You know, you think about the bigger, stronger athlete theory, and you look around, and guys like that are really hard to find and definitely not available. So it's not realistic to think they would get one. But, you know, I defy you to find me a weak hitter in their lineup or even an average hitter. You've got everybody in their lineup is capable of having a first-rate big league season. And that, to me, is where it's at. I mean, and they proved last year without a lot of power that, you know, with timely home runs, you can get a lot done. And I think that's what they're going to get this year. Tejada can go deep. Sandoval can go deep. All the guys you talked about, they could all hit 20, and in some cases more. So, you know, give me a good hitter. Give me 8 good hitters. Totally over a 3-4-5 slugger kind of thing, and the rest of it's weak. I think the lineup's looking remarkably good.
No, you hit it perfectly, and I've said this, and I agree with you 100%. You look at this lineup, 1 through 8, there's not an out
there
in the lineup.
There isn't an out there.
And not only that, every guy in the lineup could have a day to carry you to victory.
Yes.
And when you have 1 through 8 like that, it makes relief pitchers a nightmare because you can't bring somebody in to say, all right, let me get this guy, and then it's easy sailing. Even in the National League with the pitcher coming up, which you always angle to try to get to the pitcher spot. They are an annoying little hitting team. And there's something to be said for that, and you just said it perfectly. And I'm talking to one of the scouts, and we described it as like red ants. They're all over you.
It's a bad picnic is what it is.
Exactly. And honestly, and you know, Bruce, it's funny. Before you came on, I went through the second inning yesterday. And that was a typical Giants second inning. They just started hitting, and the line moved along, as Bruce Bochy likes to say. So the Bonds-type player, the Pujols-type player, I say, well, maybe there's a Justin Upton out there if Tampa Bay gets tired of him. Maybe someone with the great athleticism. That I would like to see, you know, the great athlete who has the big upside. Steven Drew, no one will ever trade him out of Arizona. I think he's going to be here for a while. But maybe one of those kind of guys, the great athlete. But what you see right now, I'll take him. I really will.
I mean, they're not looking to trade anyone. They're not looking to upgrade at any position. I mean, just think about how many teams at catcher and second base, the guys aren't really giving you much hitting. Well, here we got Buster Posey, who's on the verge of becoming one of the great hitters in the National League, and Freddie Sanchez, the one-time batting champion, who came up so big last year, solid hitter. They're just everywhere. So, I agree. you know, to get somebody like a Justin or BJ Upton, any of the Upton brothers. That would be a nice addition.
Well, look, Kevin Towers threw it out there over the winter, Justin Upton.
Yeah.
BJ Upton, certainly in Tampa Bay, he's at a crossroads, I think, in his career. Money coming up for him in Tampa Bay has cut back on their whole payroll. They're all over the league now, the Tampa Bay guys. So maybe someone like that, you know, you think about it, you know, a tools guy.
Yeah, and you'd want him to be, you know, probably a left or center fielder with the way this team is developing. Torres is not a young guy, nor is Burrell, and, you know, eventually they'll need to go that way. If they could get somebody like that, then you're looking at many more years of contention.
Yeah, and that may be where to think about it. But you're right, the Pujolses of the world, those days are over for this ball club. But they're not bringing in someone like that. And as I say, next year at this time, we could be talking about a Kieschnick or a Neal or a Brandon Crawford or someone, or certainly Brandon Belt.
Yeah.
You know, and look, we'll leave it with this, and Bruce is going to get to work here the last couple of minutes. But Sandoval, maybe your take on him and what you've seen with him, because Belt gets up here at some point, and I think we kind of agree that he has the upside to do it. He's got to go out and do it. But then you have Posey, Sandoval, and Belt. That's not so bad for a 3-4-5 if Sandoval does what we think he can do.
Yeah, I love Sandoval, and I love what Bochy said yesterday after the game. We were talking about how him taking a few more pitches. He said, listen, this is an aggressive hitter, and they want him to stay an aggressive hitter. That's why he hit so well 2 years ago, and I totally agree with that. I think there's a genius in him as a hitter who can hit any pitch at any time when he's on a roll, and it's pretty much a getting his head straight, and I think his vision is a thing that has been a little bit overlooked. He's got a new deal now where he's wearing contacts, and vision, how that's as important as anything. That's like, you know, that's your lifeblood. But I believe in Sandoval as a Sangian, Yogi Berra, you know, Vladdy Guerrero type of approach to the plate. No, I have no problem with that. Maybe a little more discipline, not get crazy up there and swing at a ridiculous two-strike pitch. I don't think he's going to do that. You know, I think he's got his head on a little more straight, but he's just a tremendous hitter. I wouldn't be surprised at all if he went back into the 300s.
Yeah, interesting. His baseball attitude.
Yeah.
Not just his the food attitude, his life attitude, but his baseball attitude. When he comes out of that dugout, he's the first guy on the field. He runs, he's sweating, he's in the cage. And his baseball attitude, for me, is like a 180.
And don't forget what an athlete this guy is. Yeah. For him to lose all this weight is unbelievable. I mean, this is a guy who can put the glove on the other hand and throw a lefty, a bullet.
Yeah.
How many people can do that? That's just an amazing example of his athleticism. And, you know, he owes it to himself to drop some pounds and get the most out of it, which is exactly what he's done. I mean, he's almost unrecognizable when you watch him walking around. It's very inspiring. Again, it shows that the team is certainly not resting on any laurels.
No, or Hardy's. Either one. Either Laurel or Hardy. All right. The crowd, spring training, the restaurants, the Pink Pony, the Italian Grotto, Don and Charlie's, the one, you know, kind of the favorites of everybody. Mm-hmm. But look at this. Look at spring training.
I know. We're looking out here on a, you know, there's people starting to gather on the grassy knoll out there. There's barbecue joints, you know, there's hot dogs being grilled, fans are watching BP, everybody's relaxed, nothing can go wrong, you know, the sun isn't out, I guess that's the only problem. It's just great. I mean, I love yesterday, you know, Marty, you and I, we just went right down and sat behind the plate. I mean, which, you know, Giants fans, if you're thinking you can't get a ticket down here, obviously you're not going to be able to do that necessarily, but the game was not a sellout.
No.
And that's what I love about spring training, is that in almost any case, you can sort of fall into a ballpark, get a seat, and enjoy this remarkable spectacle.
Wonderful. Bruce, thanks so much, as always. A pleasure. We'll have you on quite a bit, obviously. Always enjoy talking ball with you.
Always, Marty. All right.